Episode 66.
This is Matt Tenner from the world-famous City of Allen Peanut softball team, and I never listen to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
On this episode, I give you an update on the Corn Sheller site, complete with earnings and traffic statistics. I finally tell that story about when I was mentioned in a sermon, and we address some feedback from listener John, who's looking to recover from losing everything financially. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Get out your comfort zone, my friend. Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, Your host, Mark Mason.
Hey. All right. I love that shout out liner from Matt, a very accomplished left center fielder from the mighty Allen Peanuts. The guy's got total wheels. He covers the outfield. He can throw the ball into home plate from center field, and he can crush it. In fact, there's a whole nother story about how he almost killed me when I was standing on third base getting ready to score, and he hit a screamer and almost broke me in half. So that's a whole nother story. But that liner's funny because, you know, he says he never listens to the show, and I think actually he does occasionally listen to the show. And he was talking about not listening to the show because there's this really outstanding radio station here in Dallas, 1310 AM, The Ticket. It's a sports talk radio station. And their midday show is by these two guys, Bob and Dan. It's called Bad Radio, which is an abbreviation, of course, for Bob and Dan. And all their liners are like that. I never listen to bad radio on The Ticket. That's what everyone says when they use those celebrity liners. So Matt called me with that celebrity liner from left center field from the mighty Allen Peanuts. That was so awesome. I had to bring that to you. So that's good stuff. Appreciate that, Matt. Thank you very much. I know it's been a little more than a week, almost 2 weeks, maybe a little over 2 weeks, 15 days since I recorded my last episode. Still trying for the weekly show. Life got in the way a little bit, but don't worry. Goal is definitely going to still be to average a show a week. So we'll try and squeeze as many in as we can here, try and get a little bit caught up. It's not because there's a shortage of things to talk about. You know, the last time I had on Dr. Jason Jones, that show was very well received. If you didn't check that out, that's episode 65. I encourage you to do that. But I got a lot of really good feedback, and Peter wrote in the comments, I just love this. He says, thanks, Mark and Dr. Jason, for a podcast with substance. It was really interesting to hear something that was not rah, 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 but real academic research with practical advice. And I thought, okay, so this guy's saying, finally, I put out a show with substance. Is that what he's saying? Or is he talking about other people's podcasts? I'm just kidding, Peter. I know I'm down with all your comments, man. I think it's great. And, you know, it's an interesting balance because I know if I went all egghead on you guys all the time, as I might be prone to do as an engineer, that wouldn't work either. So we try and strike a balance between interviews and really technical stuff and motivational stuff and practical experience that I have and listener feedback and all that stuff. So we can kind of keep everybody engaged and kind of keep the show moving along. So that's the goal, kind of peeling back the curtain there a little bit on the programming to kind of let you understand what's going on. So speaking of listener feedback, we got a couple of things I want to get to today. And one thing that I want to get to is I got a question that I often get, and I'm going to read it to you in a little bit. It's from a guy who, you know, has lost his job. He's looking to make money, and he's reached out to me and want to know what he should do. These kill me. I mean, you know, I get these kind of emails all the time, and they're very hard to answer. And so one of the things that I want to do is give my current answer for that on the show so I can refer people back to it. So we'll get to that today. And then, you know, the other thing that I want to do is give you an update on the corn sheller site. So there's been a lot of interesting stuff going on with the corn sheller site, and we want to talk about that. And then the other thing that I owe you this story about this guy, my friend, who I've known for many years, who wrote me this really amazing email. It says he listens to the show occasionally. He's motivated by it, and he even went so far as to mention me in a sermon that he gave in church. And so and lightning didn't strike him or me, which is kind of amazing. So I want to, that's kind of remarkable, but I want to tell you what it was that captured his attention, because I think it's really important for you in your business. And after all, that's what this show is all about. So let's get to it and talk a little corn sheller action, shall we? Okay, so the corn sheller site, for those of you that maybe this is your first episode, you don't know about it. Once upon a time, a long time ago, in fact, gosh, it's creeping up on, I don't know, we'll have to check it, maybe 18 months ago, that I cranked out this site about this farm implement called the corn sheller. And I basically did it because I was testing a piece of SEO software for a friend. The SEO software had said corn shellers should be easy to rank for. I went ahead and did that. And it turns out the software was right, kind of validated the results that the software was getting. And then I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do with this? And so what I decided to do with it was monetize it. And since it wasn't, you know, an incredibly valuable asset, but it was a really good instructive teaching tool, I always talk about it on the podcast because I can point to this site and I can talk about it and talk about the things that work and don't work. And that's really instructive for affiliate marketers who are trying to build something bigger. You know, this site makes, you know, handfuls of dollars a month, not hundreds. And so, you know, there's no kind of no risk in me exposing it to you guys. So that's what we do. So the corn sheller site had been making about something on the order of $40 to $50 a month with gust of winds. I think we've had a couple of $60 months over the last 18 months. And the way the site makes money is people visit the site searching for corn shellers that are for sale. And my impression is that these people are generally collectors of antique corn shellers. And they find my website and then they find listings from eBay on the website. And they click through to eBay and buy antique corn shellers on the website. Now, buying antiques on eBay is something that people do all the time. So this is a really good market to message match. I have a site that attracts people who are looking for antique corn sheller information. I have some valuable information on the site. They get what they expect. They find corn shellers for sale. Eventually, they find themselves on eBay and convert to a sale for eBay. And I get a small, typically really pretty small commission for doing that. And that site's been running along at $50 a month. And quite recently, in the last couple of months, this site has fallen off to something more like $10 a month. And the traffic hasn't fallen off at all. But for whatever reason, eBay payouts have fallen off considerably. And I'll show a graph in the show notes about what's been going on with the site and the traffic. The traffic's actually, if anything, it's up, which is very interesting. But the conversions on eBay, once people get through to eBay, is down. And when I say the traffic's up, I mean even the click-throughs to eBay, which I track on the eBay side, are up. And so there's plenty of traffic going to eBay. Now, it'll be interesting to see as we enter the holiday season, because those eBay cookies last quite a long time, particularly compared to Amazon. The eBay cookies last quite a long time. What I saw last year was people that were on there with my cookie were also buying Christmas gifts on eBay and so forth. And so it'll be interesting to see if earnings pick up. But really what we're looking at is something like a 75% decrease sort of suddenly in earnings with no change to the site and no change to the sources of traffic or anything like that. I can't see any change, no change in the traffic volume, no change in the traffic sources, no real change in the amount of click-through. The rankings seem pretty stable, although I have to admit that I haven't been tracking it very aggressively as far as the rankings are concerned, but I'm still ranking for all the major keywords and so forth. And so, that's where we are on the Corn Sheller side. I think it's very interesting. I'll be digging into that a little bit. One thing, one milestone that I did accomplish is that you'll recall is I've been looking for other ways to monetize the site. I tried AdSense. We knew that wasn't going to work. Tried it anyway. And sure enough, it didn't work. So I was able to prove that. Another thing that I tried to do was to identify some Corn Sheller related products on Amazon.com. I got one of those pages. I created a page, one single page. I got that page to rank on the first page of Google down near the bottom. It doesn't get a lot of traffic, but it is sending traffic to Amazon, and I have converted at least one sale of a Corn Sheller related product. And I'll put a snapshot of that. And I, you know, this thing made less than a dollar. So the reason that I tell you this is because this is sort of an important idea when it comes to working on your own affiliate sites. Okay. So there's four or five lessons that you can take away from what's happening with the Corn Sheller site here. And so we should talk about those. Lesson number one is track everything. So it don't do as I do, right? I always tell you this, do as I say. So when it comes time to debug these things, like a weird drop in earnings, you need as much analytic data behind that as you possibly can. And of course, for a site like this, I definitely recommend that you have it fully instrumented with Google Analytics and that you run the Yoast Google Analytics plugin, which will tell you, you know, as much as can possibly be told about what's going on in your website, because the Google Analytics plugin from Yoast will add some kind of tagging and instrumentation to your website that will help Google Analytics figure out exactly what's going on. So you definitely want to make sure that you're not just relying on the stats that are built into cPanel, like AWStats or one of those programs that are built into your cPanel installation that your host provides you. And I think even more typically for WordPress bloggers like us, you want to make sure that you're not just relying on something like WordPress stats that come with Jetpack, where you get this nice in-dashboard view of your stats, but doesn't really tell you everything that you need to know to figure out what's going on with how long people are staying on pages, exactly what pages they're staying on for how long and where they're clicking to and so forth. Google Analytics. And so that's the first thing, is to make sure that you're getting those kind of stats and make sure that you have that available to you whenever you have to troubleshoot something. The other thing that makes sense to do is to make sure that you're diversifying the monetization strategy for your website. So, you know, this is something that I've talked about before. I think it's very important. I think this is particularly true in AdSense. If you've got AdSense websites, or if you've got one particular vendor, and I'll tell you a couple of stories. One day I woke up and Google had banned my AdSense account for absolutely no reason that I could ever possibly figure out. I hadn't done anything that I shouldn't have done. I don't know. I'll never know what happened. I appealed it. They told me that it was for fraudulent click activity, which is the kind of thing where where you might go to your site and click on your own ads, for example, or have people click on your ads in order to increase your revenue. Of course, I had never done anything like that. I'd had AdSense for a couple of years at that point, was making money every month with legitimate sites, nothing black hat from an AdSense perspective. And so you need to have your income diversified in case something like that happens to you. Another story that I like is my friend Lynn Terry. Years and years and years ago, she built a big affiliate site around a single affiliate. And about 3 weeks before Christmas, that affiliate decided that they were going to just up and cancel their affiliate program with absolutely no warning. They just decided, hey, we're out. And I've told that story before too. And so, Lynn was able to recover that by changing all her links on her site to a different vendor and doing a lot of work on the site at the last minute in the wee hours of the morning before the Christmas rush. But the truth of the matter is, if you have your income on your site diversified, you're a lot more robust against that. And that's why the example of that in the context of the Corn Sheller site is trying to get some Amazon stuff in there, trying to see if AdSense works, trying to understand what else is out there in terms of affiliate offers and so forth, is great. If there were a book out there, or if I chose to write a book about how to buy, you know, the buyer's guide to antique corn shellers, that would be a great product for this site, for example. And so, and maybe, you know, even Amazon books on corn shellers. I haven't even really looked to see if those exist. Certainly they do. There are books about everything, it seems, on Amazon. But those sorts of diversification are very important in affiliate marketing because, to be honest with you, one of the criticisms of affiliate marketing is, when you do affiliate marketing, it has many advantages, which we've talked about many times before. But one of the disadvantages is, since you're not the supplier, you don't control the product and you don't control the affiliate program and you don't control the offering and you don't control the money, therefore. And so having all your eggs in one basket in a situation where you're not in control of everything is never a great idea. And so that's another thing that you want to make sure of, is that you are doing everything that you can to diversify your income on your affiliate site. So the third thing I'll say, and maybe we'll leave it with three things today, is that you really, if you got these stats, as I said in number one, and something starts to happen, you really need to stop and think and understand what's going on. So in this particular case, if you look at the stats, and I'll jam all this into the show notes, this site continues to run over 200 views per day, page views per day. And that's fine. And the question is, are people still clicking through to eBay? And in fact, the people are clicking through to eBay. Since the site started in January 2012, so it's been running almost 2 years now, the number of clicks through to eBay has risen on average every month, sort of. You know, there's noise in the data, but the monthly clicks have been up, up, up. And so I get something on the order of 1,000 clicks through to eBay a month. And in general, those clicks, it's sort of all over the map, but those clicks have been running something between a high of $75 back in December of 2012 a month, down to a low of last month, which was something on the order of $9. And so this, you know, the site over this entire period, 2 year period, has generated $600, and that works out to, you know, just a measly a few cents a click, which is, that's the problem, right? Is a site like this with that much traffic, you want to be doing something a lot better than 5 cents a click or whatever that works out to be. And so I'll publish some of that data, but the point is, the issue doesn't seem to be the amount of traffic coming from the site. It doesn't seem to be the amount of traffic clicking through to eBay. What the problem seems to be is the conversion on the eBay site itself to sales. And so that may have something to do with the merchandise that's available in the marketplace right now. I mean, those are things that I need to go off and research, and quite frankly, I just haven't spent the time to do that. But that's kind of the thought process that you need to go through, is to understand where, based on your data, the problem is in your sales funnel, and then go attack the problem at that place. So if I figure something out, I'll let you know, and we'll give you another Corn Sheller update sometime in the near future. So the next thing I wanted to tell you about was my friend Scott, who sent me this email out of the blue. This is really back in August, that it just really blew me away. In fact, it took me a while to even respond to Scott. I was so blown away by this email. But Scott's a guy I've known for many years and has worked at this large semiconductor company that I work at in Dallas. We worked there together. And I remember exactly when we hired Scott, and he's a brilliant PhD type guy. I mean, this guy's just really, really smart. And in fact, I will tell you, one of my career secrets has always been to hire people that are much, much smarter than me. Now, I didn't hire Scott exactly. I worked with him, but he's an example of that. Scott's a really brilliant guy. So we worked and hung out together for a long time, and I got to know him really well. And eventually we were able to hire his wife, which is also, she is also brilliant. And they worked there for a while. And now Scott's off doing something else. But I really valued my time working with Scott, because it's always fun to work with these incredibly bright people. So I get this email, and he said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that your message is getting through on the podcast." Now, I had no idea that Scott was listening to me on the podcast. I didn't know he was even aware of the podcast, I don't think. And so I was just kind of shocked by that. And he said, "I just wanted to let you know that I mentioned you in a sermon," and he attached a copy of the sermon. Now, I'm not going to get all churchy preachy on you. So if that bugs you, you know, don't worry, don't panic. We're not going to turn this into a sermon here itself, but, you should know that these are things that I believe in. And, it was really gratifying to hear, him. He was preaching on, among other things, Matthew. And, you know, Matthew's this guy is kind of cruising around preaching the gospel under great distress, right? I mean, there's really kind of tough things going on during Matthew's time. He's relating the story where Jesus is asked, you know, what's the greatest law? Well, you know, of all, you're throwing down all this stuff. What is the most important thing? You know, don't bug us with all this stuff. Just kind of tell us what the most important thing is. And the most important thing is this commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as thyself. And this has sort of come to be known as the golden rule. Okay. So, you know, you should treat people the way you want to be treated. And the thing that Scott related about me, and that was, I'm always running around quoting Zig, who says, you know, hey, if you want to build a good business, if you want to be a good person, if you want to do the right thing, just know that you can get everything in life that you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. And it's really pretty much that simple. And I use it in a business context because, you know, when people come to you in a business context, they're coming to you because they need something. They have some kind of pain, or they have some kind of problem that they need to solve. And if you can help people solve their problems, then, you know, you can do something great, and usually that value exchange will result in you getting something that you want. Now, what your motivation is, this works better if your motivation is not to do stuff because you want something in return. It's better if intrinsically you can really feel that what you really get value out of, what really motivates you, your motivating purpose, if you will, is to actually help people. That's the great place to start. That's the really powerful place to go do this stuff. Okay. And one of the things that we observe is when people do that, usually that comes back to them in the form of some kind of value. And so Scott relates this story in this sermon about me always running around talking about this quote, and about how I had helped him a couple of times. And to be honest with you, in ways that I didn't really completely appreciate at the time, that had to do with helping his wife get a job. So I really appreciated that, because really, my motivation in helping Scott during those times and helping people all the time is almost always just because I really enjoy that. And so to have this come back to me in this very important way, where maybe, you know, Scott's speaking to a room full of people and maybe one person in that room would hear that message from Scott that was somehow influenced by me just a little bit, just a tiny bit that I influenced Scott, and that that might help people or in turn help people that would then help people. That's a very powerful and humbling thing. So I wanted to share that with you because I wanted you to know a couple of things. One is, it's real. So you can build businesses that really help people, and that's a real thing, and it really works in the real world, and you should really think about it. You should really try and get everything in life that you want by helping enough other people get what they want. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing that I wanted to impress on you is that, as Scott mentions in this discussion that he had in church, I do this all the time. So I'm not just on the mic kind of, this is not one of those do as I say, not as I do things. The stats thing that I mentioned earlier, taking really good care of your websites and dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's, that's a thing that I don't always get done. But this other thing, this life philosophy thing about getting things in life because as a result of helping people, that's a real thing for me. And that's the point I wanted to make here is that, you know, if there's ever any question in your mind about whether or not I'm being transparent on these points, I just wanted you to know that's the real thing there. Thanks, Scott. I really appreciated that email. It made a huge impact on me.
To hear what listeners just like you are thinking. Late night listener feedback.
Okay, so now that we're squarely into the helping people zone, last topic for today. I get this support ticket. You know, I have these, I have a support ticket system at support.latenightim.com, and I got this ticket. Mark, I am desperately in need of an internet or passive income to prepare for my retirement. I'm 61 years old and I have absolutely nothing to rely on. I have lost everything and now have no pension, no savings, nothing. And I'm doing agency work, which is very unreliable, not to mention intimidating. Quite sad, but it's all my own fault. Wrong decision, greed, credit crunch, etc. Now I need a solution, and I see that for some reason or another, you are very willing to help people establish their online business. Thank you, and I would seriously like to take you up on that. Liquid finances are a bit low, but I trust you will not make me spend unnecessary money. And then he goes on to tell me about the details of you know, what his situation is with hosting, and he's got a website and so forth. By the way, we're going to call this guy John for the purpose of this discussion. And John says, I'm hoping to hear from you at your earliest convenience. John. Okay, so this is a tough one. Okay, so first of all, this just totally breaks my heart to hear that people find themselves in these situations, whether it's their fault or not. Whether it's, you know, they're a victim of circumstances or they made bad choices or whatever it is, I absolutely hate this. And the other challenge is oftentimes people come to me and they are really looking for some kind of miracle solution because they've been cruising around the internet and, you know, for just $97, you can buy a course that will allow you to make $57,000 in your first 6 weeks. I mean, you can find these crazy things all over the place that are total ridiculousness. And so, a lot of times I'll get people that are looking for that. Now, the thing about John, this email that I got from John, it has some amazing redeeming qualities. One is that, he's completely straight up with me about what's going on. And the thing that I love the most out of this email is that he owns his problem. It's his own fault. he made decisions and he owns that. And now he wants to do the work to get out of the situation. This has got to be the most important characteristic of successful people. They own their own stuff. And so he's not blaming the man. He's not blaming Obamacare. It's his deal. Now he's actually from South Africa and the UK, some combination of that. I think he has relatives in the UK, so he's not in the United States, but you know, he's in a situation that a lot of us might one day or might currently find ourselves in. Right. But he owns it, and that's awesome. What he says in the email, at the end of the email, he says, "What I would really like is help to create a website that will earn me, say, a minimum of $10 or pounds per month. Once that is done successfully, I can just repeat it," and he says in parentheses, "about 100 times. So this is another awesome thing about this email. He's not coming to me with unrealistic expectations about what's possible. He's like, okay, show me how to do this. Show me how to make an achievable amount of money. And as we know from the Corn Sheller site, just goofing around and making 10 bucks a month or even 50 is not, you know, that's not the most challenging thing in the world when it comes to internet marketing. This can be done, and it can be done very inexpensively. And so those two redeeming qualities, the fact that he is open and transparent and owns his own stuff, the fact that he has reasonable expectations, and the fact that he, you know, the third thing, which is he seems to be willing to do the work to dig himself out. These are amazing, amazing redeeming qualities, virtues in this email. So the question is, what do you tell a guy like this? So the first thing that I always tell people in this situation, Mark, I need money. The first thing I always tell people is the absolute very, very best thing that you can do to make money on the internet when you need to make money quickly is to offer a service, whatever it is that you can do. Whether that's, I don't know if it's transcription, if it's graphic art, if it's writing, if it's, you know, whatever it is. So there are places you can go, particularly if you're someone who's, you know, college educated or has a high school diploma and you can write, read and write well, particularly if it's in English, there's great demand for writers, and you can get writers jobs sort of by the piece, and you can get them, you know, ebook jobs. You can go compete for jobs on Elance, whatever it is that you can do, whatever it is. Maybe you know some accounting and you can do books. You can be making money the same day, literally the same day, if you are willing to do just work for money as a way to get started. So if you have no money and you need money right now today because you've got to buy groceries at the end of the week, that's always what I recommend to people. The simple ways to do that are you can go someplace like iWriter.com. Or ineedarticles.com, either one of those, and you can sign up and you can start writing the next few minutes right after that, and money for writing articles will be deposited in your PayPal account once the authors that you write for accept your work. And if you can do basic research on the internet and write at an 8th grade or, you know, 10th grade level, I think you can make money immediately doing that. You can make even better money writing if you can land gigs on Odesk or someplace like that. It takes a little bit longer to get yourself established and win those bids. The first bids are hardest to win, but once you get rolling and you get a great reputation on Odesk or Elance or one of those places, you can do really well. I see people, I pay those people, so I know that this can happen. Another quick way to get started is to go look at Fiverr and see what people are doing on Fiverr and do what those people are doing, or unique things that you come up with as a result of seeing what those people are doing. So those kinds of things, immediate online work. Now, what's really cool is if you can do something that is related to what it is that you eventually want to do, that's super cool as well. So if you are going to build your own websites, and you can build websites for people, and you can find, you know, again, maybe starting on Fiverr, maybe starting on Odesk, you can do work immediately. That's really great. And then the next thing that you can do, and the thing that I recommend for John, because he specifically mentions it, is you can start on a program to build sites like the site, like the Corn Sheller site. And actually, you can pretty much do that. You can pretty much do everything that is done with the Corn Sheller site just by going to latenightim.com and reading the affiliate marketing overview. Everything that was done in the Corn Sheller site is talked about at some level in there, and there's comments available. And if you ask me a question about how something was done for the Corn Sheller site, I'm going to answer it. And so, you know, if you want to go the free route, essentially what you're talking about is sort of just filling out or reading through those things and going through the steps that I lay out there, which is identifying a niche or a few niches, getting a HostGator account, which in John's case he already has, and starting to build websites and monetizing them either with AdSense or with affiliate offers, and creating content and waiting, you know, doing the keyword research that's necessary so that you can get the rankings that you need, and building backlinks and so forth, and waiting on the traffic. The challenge with this is, the challenge with this sort of approach for a guy like John is that this doesn't happen overnight. But fortunately, John's got a pretty healthy perspective about at least the kinds of incomes that are possible for new people who are trying this the first time. I think it's very reasonable for anybody who does this, whether they're a 16-year-old kid or an 80-year-old grandma, to expect earnings on the order of $10 for their first website. I mean, that's sort of what, that's not a bad place to start. I mean, the truth of the matter is, before you make a dollar, you have to make a nickel. And before you make $10, you've got to make a dollar. And before you make $10 a month, you need to make a dollar a month, and so forth. And so you've got to build this thing up. So, you know, having a goal out there of having a website that makes $10 a month is not an unreasonable goal for anybody. Having a goal, just keeping it real here, having a goal to build a website that makes $2,000 a month, that can be a little harder. That involves a lot more luck and being in the right place at the right time, and maybe more investment and you know, choosing the right topic. But $10 a month, that's a pretty straightforward to understand how that might be possible. And so to John, I say, yeah, absolutely. Go to the website and if you got questions, leave comments on those posts and I'll answer them. And that will help the entire community. And so that's a good thing. And so we'll do that. You know, I don't like to advocate people get their wallet out, especially if they're in a situation where the first thing out of their mouth is, I don't have any money. If I were going to buy something that I could learn from, then I would probably recommend Forever Affiliate. Now, the disclaimer is that I know for a fact that people who, the number of people who went through Forever Affiliate compared to the number who actually made money is the same as it always is with these sort of programs, because many, many, many people quit. They just quit. They go, they don't do the work. And in fact, even yours truly, I haven't quit, accomplished way less than I planned to in 2012 on this. Now, I haven't quit. I'm just, as usual, way behind schedule. But I'm falling victim to the same things that, same thing as these other people fall victim to, is that life gets in the way. But I do know that those principles in Forever Affiliate are sound. I know that people that went through that course made money, and you know, that there were people that did make money from that course, because I saw the reports in the forums and so forth. But I can tell you that with every one of these courses, whether it was Microsite Profits from Internet Business Mastery Academy, or the Internet Business Mastery Academy itself, or my own product that I had in the past when I was selling AdSense themes or, you know, whatever, there are more people, far more people quit and give up and fail from quitting than are actually successful. So to John, I would say the strategy has to be find a direct way to make money as best you can. He says he's doing agency work right now. It doesn't sound fun. I understand that. So make sure you can do whatever you got to do to pay your light bill, but absolutely, definitely start working on these passive income streams effective immediately. And I think what I recommend that you do is if you don't want to spend a dime, work through the information on my site and let me know where you perceive gaps and I'll help you fill them just like I would do for any listener. And, if you are inclined to spend a little money on Forever Affiliate, I think that education is absolutely fantastic. And as a matter of fact, you can get into that for a dollar. And if you decide you don't like it for whatever reason, after 7 days, you can get your money back. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. If if that's your situation, you get in for a dollar, you get everything out of it, you can get out and you get out. And, you know, if later something works for you and you decide to go back and pay Andrew for it, I think that's great too. I don't think he'd have a problem with that. So that's my thinking on that for you, John. And I hope that's helpful. And I have by this time responded to your ticket in my system. And I wish you all the best. And if there's something I can do to help you, I hope you won't hesitate to reach out because I'm always willing to help people, particularly when, like today, the help that I'm offering them can be multiplied throughout the community. Because for every John that writes me and asks a question, there's probably 100 other people that have exactly the same question that don't write me. Okay, well, that wraps it up for today. We're going to have another show really soon. We're going to talk about Forever Affiliate and Niche Site Duel in the next episode in the next couple of days. So stay tuned. Watch your iPod or your iPhone or your Android device because I'm coming to you again soon. Until next time, we'll talk to you. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, so Matt's at the plate, right? So we're losing the game, and Matt's at the plate, and he's decided that the way to get us back in the game is to hit a home run, which a lot of times in softball, you don't choose to do that. You choose to hit base hits, but we're going to hit a home run, and Matt's got plenty of power to do that. I'm on third base. There's a guy on second base. I'm ready to run, and you can imagine I've got 1 foot on third base, and I'm leaning into home plate with my right foot leading because I'm right-handed. So I'm pushing off with my left foot. I've got my right foot out there. And he cranks around on this pitch, and he's out in front of the ball a little bit, and he hits it straight for me. I mean, it is coming at 45,000 miles an hour. It's the fastest thing I've ever seen. And so I'm on third base, so I back up a little bit. I put my right foot on the bag, and I know not to get off the bag because if I get hit with the pitch, then I'm out. So I leave my foot, can't get off the bag. So I pivot my left foot into foul territory and I leave my right foot on the bag and the ball curves in from the infield headed foul and hits me right square in the right leg in the back of the thigh. I mean, It hurt. So I thought I was going to cry. Of course, you can't cry. There's no crying in softball, but to borrow a line from Tom Hanks. But I thought I was going to die right there. And in fact, I was so disoriented after that happened. It hurt so badly that I was not able to remember that it was Matt. I actually got confused because Matt, the ball ended up being fair and Matt made it to first base. I stayed on third and then there was another batter up and I got confused about who hit me. So that's how messed up I was. They explained it to me later. Anyway, that's my funny story about getting hit in the leg. And it's still, the bruise wasn't so bad, but it's been like 5 weeks and it's still sore. That's how deep the bruise was. So, but I survived. Baseball's or softball's very hazardous. So be careful out there.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.